don't want to assimilate.
Assimilate.
Oh, no. My worst nightmare.
Disclaimer. We do not own or claim ownership of the Pokemon franchise and any Pokemon established in official canon. That's all owned by Nintendo, Game Freak, and Creatures. This is just a podcast made by four friends who love Pokemon. It's our love letter to a franchise most of us grew up with. So please go support the official release.
Previously on PKMN Legacy.
This rather raggedy-looking cowboy fella, barefoot.
Boy howdy.
Name's Luke.
After he left, there was a book missing from your shelf.
This is where I keep my works on the Age of the King. In this photo, a younger woman, dark plum-colored hair, huge drill-like pigtails, the second figure next to her.
Grandpa?
Who's this woman?
Whoever that is, they know my grandpa, and they know me. I want to check out the city.
You're killing two birds with one stone, yeah. Like going to Cortland City and then a hop skip over to Mogul City.
I agree with that.
I think I have to go clean up the mess that you guys created. Go on ahead, and I'll catch up with you, okay?
Yeah, I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
I'll be fine.
I'll take good care of him.
All right, thank you.
All right, well, be safe, have fun, and watch out for Wild Wingull.
You too.
Don't wind up in another dimension or something. I don't know. Things are weird here.
That is very specific, but okay.
Another dimension? What do you think, this is the multiverse theory?
I don't know. Anything can happen.
The fact that alternate realities is out there just seems kind of weird to me. But, you know, obviously we completely understand that, you know, our lives are, our livelihoods run by, you know, godlike Pokemon, so that makes sense.
Exactly.
Anyway, on to adventure.
As I said before, you two arrive in the Craglands. Think the Grand Canyon, but dustier, more desolate, like the earth was ripped asunder. Splinters and scars lining this barren landscape, and rickety, unkempt bridges acting as the suture.
Are we gonna have to cross a bridge?
Several.
Oh.
Sounds solid enough.
Below the cliff sides and the bridges, you can see that this cragland goes 200, 300 feet down to the bottom, where you can see dregs of ocean water lapping around the edges, mixing with the sand, creating what looks to be a muddy bottom.
So definitely got a river probably flowing around here.
The two of you make your way through the Craglands, passing by a few docile Pokemon, a few flocks of Spearow, and some Murkrow. It gets a bit closer to evening, the soft topaz glow of the sun shining over the canyons, and you make your way around the corner and find a ramshackle-looking building with an old Western Saloon sign on the side of it. It looks like an old-timey Western Saloon called the Cave Inn.
The Cave Inn. That's funny. Seems like that might be the best place to get some rest for the evening, but a little weird that the rocks are growing into the building, or is the building growing into the rocks?
Probably, you know, it could be like a thing where they built into the cave system and they just made a facade on the outside.
All right, I guess we're going inside the Cave Inn.
After you.
Chris will walk through these old-school western-y doors, or, yeah, they're doors, right?
Yeah, they are little saloon doors swinging in and out.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an old-timey saloon. There seems to be a few people here and there. You know what, actually? Make me a perception check, which is not D&D.
Hold on. Perception check? I was gonna be like, oh, that's...
Make me an insight plus alert.
Alrighty.
One out of four for Velma, 3 out of 5 for Chris.
Yay.
It's a very humble abode. Two crates make the bar on the far end of the wall. A rough-looking bartender is shining the glasses right now. A couple hikers and other trainers are sitting at one of the few tables around here. There's an upper deck area with several rooms, possibly the inn part of this whole tavern. Chris, with that 3, you notice that in this corner, in the shadows, there seems to be a guy covered in his hat and coat, with his feet on the table, just taking a nap.
Just taking a nap?
Seems to be. The brim of his hat is covering his face.
Okay.
Is he barefoot?
He is. It is the barefooted cowboy that you met in Maple's lab, who, if you remember correctly, went by the name of Luke.
Luke? Ah, yes. It's all starting to come back together now. Chris is going to walk in to the saloon. He quickly surveys the area and he catches a glimpse of Luke, but he will not walk right over to him. Instead, he walks over to the bartender.
And Velma's gonna move beside him and kind of park herself right next to him on one of the stools.
Bartender looks up. Here to stay the night or you just need a drink?
Both?
All right, go ahead and pick your poison as long as your poison's Moo Moo Milk.
Wait, is that seriously the only options you have?
It's what I got.
You know what, considering how far you are away from civilization, that makes sense. Yeah, can we please have two rooms and some Moo Moo Milk?
And make mine a double.
All right, two rooms, it's going to be 200 credits. Moo Moo Milk's going to be, hold on, let me check the stock. Bends down, looks at the crate. Gives it a nice kick. $3.50 a glass of milk.
$3.50?
The milk costs more than the room.
That is so weird. That is very weird.
How good is this Moo Moo Milk?
Yeah, how good is this Moo Moo Milk?
Pretty warm. But it heals your Pokemon pretty good.
By how many points?
Points? I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but I mean if you had to apply some imaginary metric. 7.
We're not going down this road. Velma, please feel free to have some of this very nice Moo Moo Milk. I'll just have us take a room.
All right, so a room for each of you, or are you just going to share a room?
He looks at Velma. Do you want your own room, or do you want to share one?
Well, we might as well save the money. I can't really afford the Moo Moo Milk either right now.
Yeah, we'll just take a room together. I guess it'd be easier. Do you want to split this?
Sure, why not?
50 credits each, then. Go ahead and remove that from your pockets.
I was wondering, have you seen anything weird around here lately?
Gonna have to be more specific.
He kind of leans in a little closer, not trying to, you know, raise his voice too much. I was wondering, have you seen any interesting or weird folks in kind of greenish garbs, sort of wearing masks, anything like that?
Make a cool plus empathy.
Empathy. Now that's
it's
a new
the
one.
People only skill.
I got 4 out of 4.
Of course.
Oh, you mean those cultist freaks?
Oh, so you do know.
Yeah, I've seen them before. A couple of them came around here a while back, tried to stay here, but they ain't welcome in my place. You don't start shit in my bar.
I like the cut of your jib. Has they been around here recently, like in the past 24 or 48 hours?
Yeah, about 2 days ago, I think.
Do you happen to know which way they were heading after they left?
Nope. Just kicked them out. That's about it. Anyway, here's the keys. Go up the stairs. Second one on your right. Shower's outside.
Outside?
If you need the bathroom, just find a rock, I guess.
Rock? For the bathroom?
I got what I got.
Yeah, but, and he, like, sort of gestures over to Velma. He's like, kid.
I mean, that's what he
got. I.
One more thing, before I head out. She takes out the photo of her grandpa and the ladies with, and she kind of slides it to him face down. Have you seen any of the people in this photo?
Looks down, takes a look at it. Sorry, Squirt. Don't recognize either of them. Pretty sure I'd remember a hairdo like that.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, kind sir. Wait, hold on. Sorry, I don't think we caught your name.
Let me check the list. Guys, I'm running out of names. If you're listening to the podcast, tweet about the show. Hashtag PKMN Legacy. I need more names.
I'm sorry we keep doing this.
Name's DJ.
Oh, well, thanks, DJ, for the room. We'll be out of your hair by the morning time. And if we happen to need more milk, we'll think about it.
Yep.
And he's going to spin his chair. Wait, are they spinning chairs or just normal wooden chairs?
There are no chairs in front of this bar. You've been standing the whole time.
I am impressed about our leg power. We should have gams of the gods at this point. Anyway, he turns his attention to Velma and he says, okay, quick question. And he like sort of leans in a bit more. Okay, so there's a guy that's like right behind us over in the far corner. Does he look like that guy that was at Professor Maple's lab? Or am I?
Yeah, that's totally him. That is totally the guy.
It's actually him. Okay. All right.
Okay, so what do we do? What's our plan?
I'm going to be honest with you. I have no earthly idea. Do we just walk up to him? Talk to him? I mean, he did borrow a book. We could try to get it back.
I mean, that's what I was thinking.
Seems like the direct approach might be the best option, so I guess if we act casual, he won't ask why we're acting weird.
Well, you know what they say?
I don't actually.
What's the Pokemon equivalent to Rome?
Dry, what are the names of those legendary wolves in
Zashian Zamenzenta?
Yeah, you know what? Wenningalar.
Wenningalar, there we go.
Well, you know what they say? Wenningalar. And she just kind of hikes herself up, kind of puts on a little bit of cowboy persona-ish instead of just starts strutting over just very casually, but obviously to Luke.
Cool plus perform.
Good strip master.
Oh!
0 out of 2.
Oh no!
So describe your stuff to me.
So Velma thinks she's being really cool, doing like the cowboy spur strut, but it just comes out very robotically, like the kind of head nod towards folks, and she just kind of she just comes off super mechanical.
Oh no! Before you open up your mouth to speak, without even pulling up the hat.
Now that's got to be the least casual mosey I ever saw. Why are you acting weird?
Damn it!
I remember you two. Chris and Velma. Now what brings you to my little cozy corner over here?
So a little while back you borrowed a book from a certain professor. Would you still happen to have it?
Sure do.
Any chance we could take a look at it? Return it to its original place?
Afraid not. I'm a slow reader and it is a difficult read.
Is it now?
No worries though, you can have it back when I'm good and done with it. Hey, DJ, round on me. Go ahead and put it on my tab.
And in a moment, DJ comes over, hands you 2 glasses of very lukewarm Moo Moo milk.
Thank you, DJ.
Walks back to the bar.
Now, I don't rightly think you two came all this way just out of a love for literature.
So, we're actually traveling to head to another Pokemon gym, but we're also trying to find some answers about certain things we've been looking for, but seeing as how you're here, you might be able to answer some things for us. Possibly.
Possibly.
Well, I mean, considering that you did borrow a book, I would assume that we haven't gotten anything from you, so law of equivalent exchange.
That's so.
He looks down at the glasses of Moo Moo Milk he just got you guys. I'm no mathematician, but I'd think an overdue library book is worth a bit less than the milk of friendship.
Ah, damn it. All right,
Nice try, though. Good hustle.
Not my best effort, but I guess we'll just get right to it. What do you know about the Cult of Nuzlocke?
Those green garb whack jobs? I know about as much as anyone else. A couple of crazies dressing up in robes, ranting about the good old days or whatever hoodoo voodoo they get into. I mean, I appreciate an antique as much as anybody else, but they take it a little to the point of, you know.
I see, well, and he takes a sip of his lukewarm Moo Moo milk. Is it even good?
It's not spoiled.
Okay.
Satisfactory.
Feels like I could use a little something.
Please no.
Why?
No, I know what you're thinking. No.
Fine.
Thank you. Milk does not need anything added
now,
to it.
Now hold your mud ray there. What you got?
No, do not encourage her, please.
Well, my fine sir, I just happen to have a little fine bottle of ranch soda with me. And you know, ranch is a warmest, milkiest kind of thing, so I figured, you know, maybe it gotta go together, you know?
And that's just not right, young lady. I mean, ranch, milk, together, they don't do nothing for each other. Now, if you actually want to do right, he reaches into his coat and pulls out a bottle.
Wait, hold up.
Now, I prefer the taste of baked bean soda in my moo moo milk. Uses his thumb to pop up the cork, pour some into your drink, pour some into his drink.
Oh,
God. Oh. Cheers. And then just takes a big old swig of it. Oh, I see. Little piquant flavor up there.
Good mouthfeel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris looks down at his glass of baked bean soda moo moo milk.
What's wrong, Chris? You've barely touched your bean milk.
I'm good. I promise.
I insist.
Yeah!
Don't encourage him, Velma!
Listen, I just want you to have a good clear experience. Is that so wrong?
He gives her such a nasty look. He looks at the glass, gives a half-hearted smile, and says, "Cheers!" and drinks the contaminated moo-moo milk.
Make a vitality roll.
Oh, no.
Just a simple vitality roll, my dude.
Oh, no. I don't like this. Oh.
One out of four.
Oh, no.
You swallow it down the best you can, keeping a stone face. But you feel some of it in your nostrils now. Went down the wrong pipe.
Some folks just can't hold their beans.
Yep.
Bean flavor.
There it is, Chris. You'll get there in time.
I'm pretty sure I won't.
More for us. And she just downs the rest of her big bean milk.
I need to use one of the rocks, and he quickly gets up out of his seat to go puke.
Velma, you're left alone with Luke?
Well,
he'll be fine.
I guess I might as well ask you as long as you're here. She takes out the photo of her grandpa again and hands it over to him. Have you happened to see any of the people in this photo?
Alright, let me take a gander real quick. Who are they to you, then?
I don't know the lady, but the guy in the photo, that's my grandpa. What's this funny?
Okay. So I never met the old man myself, but the woman. Oh, I know that woman.
You do? Who is he?
No. I'm not going to spoil that. See, I got something better in mind. I can help you find her. Get in touch with her. Provided you help me find something I'm looking for.
What do you need?
Now, like I mentioned, I am a appreciator, collector, and purveyor of fine antiques. Just so happens there's a particular antique I got my eye on down in the lower craglands. Easy enough job for all those cultists wandering around down there. Would be nice to have a bit more muscle on my side.
I see.
You help me find and get what I'm looking for, and I make sure that plum-haired prima donna in the photo gets right in touch with you.
Velma looks back to where Chris is, and she looks ahead of her, and she takes a deep breath. It's a deal.
Takes out a gloved hand, spits in it, and extends and offers a phlegmy handshake.
Velma follows suit, just doing a little
bound by bean juice. Alright, I'm gonna get some shut. Meet you outside first thing tomorrow.
I'll let Chris know the plan.
You do that, little lady.
Night!
How is Chris doing right now?
He slowly saunters back into the saloon. I think I'm ready for bed now.
Let me give you a hand.
Okay.
And she just kind of does like the whole arm over the shoulder thing and starts helping him up.
So there might be a slight change of plans for our destination. Just a little detour, we need to take.
Okay, and what's the detour?
Look over there. He needs a little help getting a certain item, and I offer services.
Define offered our services.
Well, it's, so there's a certain ancient item thing that apparently he needs to get, and, there might be some Nuzlocke involved.
Chris looks wide-eyed at Velma. It's like extremely almost like you can see the redness in his eyes, and he just says, "You did what?!
Hey! What did I say about starting shit?
Sorry, well, we're just heading up to our rooms. Come on, Chris, let's go. Let's go."
So you go up the steps. As you pass by the first open door, you see that it is no beds. It's mostly rock.
Mostly rock.
But in your room, it's the minimum amount of rock and the maximum amount of bed. It's not a large room, maybe 10 by 10, but there is a bed and there are blankets. And there is a chest to store your stuff.
Okay, this will work. This will work. Quiff. Why did I say quiz? Damn it,
Curse of Velma, no. It's spreading again.
You're inheriting my speech pattern.
God damn it, Snow, this can't be happening.
She's multiplying yet again.
I don't want to assimilate.
Assimilate.
Oh no, my worst nightmare. Okay, so Chris barges into the room and is just like, pacing back and forth before looking at Velma again. You told him we would help him to get some artifact while knowing that there are cultists there.
I know how it sounds, but it's for something really, really important.
What is so important that you would make us go back to fighting cultists?
It's a chance to find my grandpa. Never mind. Forget I say anything.
I know you really want to find your grandpa and this lady, but you can just talk things out with me. I know there's a lot going on, and I may not know it the best like I would like to, but we're friends.
I know, it's just... She stares down, and she just kind of walks up against the wall and slumps. I haven't always had the best luck when it comes to, talking about stuff. Talking about my grandpa and stuff. I just felt like I had to jump at the chance.
He walks over to where Velma is and he slumps down next to her. Well, I don't claim to know what it's like to not know my family members or whatever their lives might be like. I very much consider you family, so...
Family is, complicated with me, but I'm glad to know I can trust you. It means a lot more than you know.
We're all looking for answers, but at least we got each other.
Yep. We do have each other.
I'm still mad you didn't tell me, though.
I don't blame you for that.
In saying that, I'm now going to give you one punishment. And he pulls out his sea gear, and he says, "You're gonna help me start a new scrapbook, and this will be our first photo. If you want, it'll be like a pseudo family album kind of thing. Even though I don't really have another notebook, but I'll find one."
Sarah, just hold on. And she kind of straightens herself up, and she just makes herself try to be presentable and not like she was about to cry or anything like that, because she totally wasn't. And she's like, I'm ready.
You don't have to look so stiff.
I'm not stiff. I'm just trying to be presentable.
Okay. So, all right. So on the count of three, one, three, click. I think it came out pretty good.
No, give me that. Give me that
he
right now.
He puts his hand up. Nuh-uh, nope.
We have
sorry.
Been taking that.
This is going on. Straight on the front page.
Oh, don't you dare.
Well, howdy, howdy, howdy. Kay here. Thanks for moseying on over to the Paul's menu.
Hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. This is a start of an arc that I can say is going to be both rootin' and tootin'. If you'd like to support the show, we have a Patreon just for that. Get rewards like your names and the end credits of the YouTube releases, access to behind-the-scenes bonus tidbits, and for our Ultra Baller tier patrons, you can get your name mentioned here verbally with my mouth by me in the pause menu. And join the ranks of Bamboori, Cammy Cat, Cybernetic Pink Eye, Donkey Odo, Doodle Boy, Javon, Jonathan Jesus Macias, Kian T, Limus Humane, Mr. Someone, Quest, Renamon Music Box Brony, and Unoriginal. Thanks to you guys and the rest of our patrons. You can also support the show via word of mouth. Tweet about the show using the hashtag PKMNLegacy, leave a comment on our YouTube releases, or leave a good review wherever you found this podcast on whichever podcast and platform you got it off of. Do that, and like our patrons, we might use your name for one of our NPCs. This time around, we have the bartender DJ named after DJC Bay on Twitter. And once again, we got Luke, who is named after @LucaReeves on Twitter. I got something to plug today. If you follow Pia Haywood, aka Sully Diddle, you may know that she just released a pilot for her animated series, Mugshot and Pollen Living Elsewhere. It's about two cute and chaotic little gremlins just doing their thing. I did the sound design for it, and I did some of the additional voices, so if you're interested, go check it out on her YouTube channel. I'll leave a link to the video in the description of this episode. God, I need some nasal spray because I'm congested as hell. I'm going to fix that real quick, and you, go listen to the rest of the episode. Unpause. Velma, you know what? That's some tasty role-playing. Just have a will point.
Yay!
You're up to five. You're up to your max of five now.
Yay!
You know what, Chris? You can have a will point too.
Yay!
Chris, Velma, you get up, relatively refreshed, as much as these scratchy sheets can allow for. What was your sleeping situation, by the way? Who got the bed? Who got the floor?
I think Velma let Chris have the bed cuz beans.
That's very considerate.
How big are these beds?
Slightly bigger than twin, but not full. It's a very janky build.
I'd say Chris did probably start off sleeping in the bed, but I think he would have probably fallen off because he vertically challenged Velma. You can have the bed.
Fair enough.
And as you head out of the cave in, you see your new best friend Luke come out from behind a rock.
Morning, y'all. Ready to hit the trail?
I say so.
As ready as I'll ever be.
Right. Well, last I heard, there are some cultists snooping around down east, so let's mosey.
Eventually, you come across the edge of one of these fragments of cliff sides you're on. Elevated high up into the air over the ocean and the brackish river water, which has receded out back into the ocean. Now it's just mud and sand.
All right, now...
Goes over to a rock. Kicks it, doesn't budge, takes out a huge loop of hempen rope, ties it around the rock, knots it in place, the rope in one hand,
see y'all at the bottom,
and jumps off the side.
Ah, he really did that. Are you sure we have to?
Yes, we do.
All right.
So did he throw us a rope? Just confirm.
The rope is tied around the rock, and it seems to go all the way down to the lower Cragland riverbeds.
Gotcha. So it's like the shimmying down the rope dealio.
Although he just took a step off and just... You can look down the cliff sides. Even though it's very steep, nearly vertical, he's just sort of running down with rope in one hand, just bolting down the side. Lands, turns around.
Velma just kind of stays herself and she grabs the rope and starts trying to position herself to kind of hang on to it as she's about to go off the cliff with it in her hands and just kind of try to slide down the rope.
Wait, whoa. Question, before this goes down.
Answer.
Do we have to use the rope or can we use a Pokemon?
That is up to you, my friend.
Can Chris pop out Diamond? Because I think Diamond is the most vertically apt for this. Parasect, they can climb around like mountains and whatnot because I've seen it in game, but like, could she ride on top of Diamond's shell and then just be taken down the mountain if she wants? Or if she wants to go down the cool way.
Question for you. In those games, are they climbing around the mountains because the game's bugged or because they can actually do that?
Ooh, that is actually a very good question. You see Parasect in Legends Arceus, and they're on the side, but they always jump down almost immediately when they spot you. I've never seen them in Violet and Scarlet, but I know that game's buggy as all hell. You know what? I'm going to let you, as a GM, I will let you dictate how you would like that to go down.
All right, let me just ask Velma first. By rope or by diamond?
I mean, if diamond's an option, why not?
For Velma, Chris, I'll need you to roll diamond's strength plus athletic.
Strength plus athletic.
1 out of 3. So, Velma.
Yep.
You are on the back of Diamond as they sink their pincers into the ground and start to go down the cliffside in a 90-degree angle perpendicular to the ground. And you are just on the edge of the diamond that's facing the sky. And it's very slow going at first. Ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. But one ka-chunk comes where the footing is loose and you fall off the back of Diamond, hurtling down towards the ground.
Let's bring out Mafia. Maybe because they float, maybe it could be a thing of like she can grab onto it and maybe that would be just enough to slow down the impact of her hitting the ground.
You're covering about one half of the way down. I need you to roll Mafia's. This would be a matter not of supporting you, but catching you in time. So this would be dexterity plus athletic.
All right.
Jitters towards you. You grab onto the orbs, which kind of float about out of orbit from your weight. It's enough to slow your fall. It has not broken it entirely. You're descending toward the ground at a slower rate, but you're still falling. At this point, Luke looks up. Ah, shit. Takes out an Ultra Ball. Dodrio, fetch! A Dodrio runs up the side of the cliffside, level to where you are, and then just leaps off the wall. It catches you in one mouth, Mafia in the other, and uses its wings to sort of glide towards the ground and just softly land.
Think, you. Definitely not doing that again.
Chris, your turn.
So Chris pops out Victor, and he's going to have Victor take him down.
Strength plus athletic from Victor, please.
And he might be a little bit quiet because he's like, I almost murdered a child. Oh my God.
That's one for the scrapbook, am I right? The obituary section specifically.
Oh, no! Oh wait, I rolled that for Chris, my bad, sorry.
Yes, please roll for Victor, as that roll is shit.
That, I don't think Chris would have survived. Plummeted to his death as well.
3 out of 7, that roll is not shit.
Okay, buddy, I need you to take me down while using this rope. Just slowly bring us down. I can just hang on to the back of you. And he, like, gets a good grip behind Victor and says, are you able to do that for me, buddy? Okay. All right, let's do this. And he's kind of shaking a little bit.
Not as carefully as the Parasect was doing, but with deft speed, he goes from one outcropping of rock to the other, to the other, to the other, monkeys his way down to the bottom, and your boots touch muddy sand.
Okay, thanks for that, Victor. And he looks over at Diamond and just pulls out both their Pokeballs, pops them back in. Runs over to Velma and he's like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I am a terrible person. I thought that was a better idea.
No, squeeze.
He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm a terrible person. I almost killed you.
You're killing me now.
Sorry. And he lets go.
Next time, we're taking the rope.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, not sure why he didn't use it after I went and tied it up and all, but kudos for Moxie, I reckon.
Ha, Moxie, like the Pokemon ability. Ha, I see what you did there.
Luke is looking at the Mafia who's floating around you.
Who's that thing?
Oh, that's a new addition to our team. That's Mafia. And C is, we're calling them Jewel types right now.
It's a normal mischievous.
Ain't nothing normal about
just Jewel type.
Jewel type?
Yeah,
jewels are more of a rock type thing, though, ain't it? Like power gem and all that?
Technically, it has minerals on it. They're minerals, right?
I mean, that's pretty rocky looking. Like, look at that. That's rocky looking.
Yeah, you know what else is rocky looking? Rock types.
Okay, fair enough. But it's a shiny rock, so you're fine.
You know what? You almost went splat. I'll humor you. Let's just keep moving.
So, like, we're at the lower end now, but we're near the water?
In the craglands here between Pippintown and Cortland City. As you can see on the map, the northern tip of the Appalachia region is elevated, almost like a series of plateaus.
Oh.
The tops of which, the barren, desolate upper craglands. But beneath that is where the ocean water seeps in between the cracks. The muddy sand area between is the lower craglands, which is where you are at now.
I know this is probably like not really relevant to the current thing that we're doing, but how far away is King's Tower from us on this end? I know it's like right like in front of us on the map, but like in terms of distance-wise, would we still be able to see the tower, or would it be too like far away?
The thing you've noticed about the Appalachia region, you can see it from almost any point in the region.
Oh.
It's that tall.
Oh, jeez.
Rivaling the height of Mount Ambrosia and the Jonagold Mountains around Newtontown. But from here, not that visible because of how far away from you in distance. So you can see its silhouette blending with the blue skies around you.
So where do we go from here?
Inward, away from the ocean. Good thing this tide's down or else we'd be up to our necks here.
I'm sorry, what?
Low tides during the mornings lets you walk around down here just fine. High tides in the evening, not so much.
Well, thank you for that little bit of information. I really wish I had known that sooner.
So the three of you continue your way on. Dojiro goes back into the Ultra Ball. Why don't you guys make dexterity plus stealth rolls?
Oh no, not stealth.
And I shall roll for Luke in front of the board.
I always remember last time I sucked it.
I kinda like it too.
Okay, well actually that's not that bad. I also rolled a 2.
2 out of 4 for Velma, 2 out of 3 for Chris, 5 out of 7 for Luke.
Jesus, Luke.
Damn.
So you are just stepping through the mud.
What are you doing?
What, walking?
Well, you should be sneaking. Here, let me show you. Keep your knees bent so you can shift your weight easier. Use the sides of your feet. Just like that.
Oh, okay. And Chris tries that?
Velma follows suit, though she struggles a little bit because it's a little bit deeper on her.
Call that the Nine Tails Trot. Picked it up wandering around. Of course, it works better if you're not wearing bulky shoes.
They are good for support. I have bad legs. Also, what is it that you do? You don't seem like a Pokemon Ranger. You don't seem like a Officer Jenny. What do you do?
Wandering, odd jobs here and there, collecting stuff.
Like faces? Paintings? You're like an entrepreneur?
Yeah, entrepreneur. And you... You raise houndooms?
Yeah. How did you pick it?
I'm pretty good when it comes to scents and scents, especially when those scents have been sticking around long enough and stinking you up to high hell. And you, my friend, you stink of rostberries, houndoom hair, and that tropical Hoenn breeze. It is engraved into your very soul.
What kind of experiments have they done on you to where your nose is that acute?
No, sir, this sniffer's all natural. Speaking of experimentation, you had quite the bouquet back on you in Russetown. All those persim berries.
I was given those to calm my nerves.
No judgment here.
He slightly steps a little faster just to sort of avoid the conversation.
You fox step your way down through the craggy pass, and with Luke's guidance, you come around a corner. Then he holds out his hand.
Hold on. I see him in the distance.
Around the pass, 5 grunts gathering around a rocky outcropping with a lot of loose rock. And with them out right now are 2 Bronzors,
mm-hmm.
2 Rattatas, and a giant Stonejourner.
Oh, that's a big boy.
And you see them around the corner. You're off in the distance around this way. What do you do?
Question.
Answer.
Do we still have the robes from our previous encounter?
I would say yes, you do. Now, they know that you have tried this disguise thing before. If you want to try the same trick twice, be my guest.
Question, are the cultists, like, how aware do they seem to be of their surroundings?
Insight plus alert in order to try and perceive what they're doing.
A whelp.
2 out of 5 for Chris. 1 out of 4 for Velma. You can't make out the conversation they're saying. You can just pick up the tone of it, and they seem to be frustrated. And they have not noticed you. They're talking amongst themselves.
I have one quick question, Kay.
Answer for you, Dry.
So, I want to use a will point, and I want to use it for Diamond using hypnosis on the stone Jorner. Is that possible to make it sleep?
I'm throwing another possible plan in the pot. Is it possible to use teeter dance to make them all confused?
Usually, things with multiple targets, you can only target up to a number determined by your rank. For you guys, it would be up to 3 targets, but teeter dance is an area of effect, which means it would affect everyone in the area, including possibly you guys. And to answer your question, Dry, you can use hypnosis without spending a will point, and if it fails, you could spend the will point in order to force it to succeed or something like that.
Because what I was going to do is, where the stone Jorner is, and then also where that the bronze ore that's like closest to it, I was going to try to have the hypnosis be sort of like a hit both of them at the same time with the will point, if possible. If not, then I would just focus on the stone Jorner mainly.
Are you trying to pacify them in order to take them out easier, or pacify them in hopes of sneaking past them?
Pacify them to sneak past them. If I try to attack them, we still have 3 other Pokemon to deal with, and then if they wake up, then that's still more to deal with. So if they at least can go to sleep, then if we try to get over to them and do something else, like if Thelma wanted to use teeter dance, then I guess going through that area would be a little easier without being noticed.
I think that could work.
Okay, let's play this out. Chris, you quietly behind cover let out Diamond.
He just sort of like whispers into Diamond's eye. Look down there. There's that stone Jorner and the bronze ore right next to it. I need you to use hypnosis on both and do it as quietly as you can, please.
First things first, I need to figure out how quiet it can be. So roll for Diamond's dexterity plus stealth.
All right, so dexterity plus stealth.
1 out of 2. So it's not the stealthiest thing, but it can get in there at least.
I'll take it.
Roll for accuracy for Diamond's hypnosis.
Don't fail me now. Oh, sweet. Oh,
it failed you now.
It failed you now. Okay.
Well,
now you can use that will point to cause it to succeed. I'll give you that.
All right, I use the will point. Take it, God.
Actually, you can take it from Diamond's will points.
Oh, yeah.
Pokemon that you're strongly bonded to, they have will points of their own.
Then I will have it be taken from Diamond's will point pile. So after Chris notices that Diamond is sort of struggling to cause the stone Jorner to go to sleep, he like does the he does that dad thing where he taps the shell, like almost trying to like get a light bulb to work. He's like, come on, buddy, you can do it.
The stone Jorner looks at you, looks at it, looks into the lights. It's hard to determine this stone face expression on it, but it doesn't seem to change that much, but its form is locked in place.
Hey, stone Jorner, you all right? What's wrong with you?
Just for funsies, I'm going to roll its his awareness. I don't imagine he could fail at seeing it right, that it's right there, but just to be safe.
Maybe he might think it's a really pretty rock.
0 out of 3. So the cultist goes, hey, which one of you left this really pretty rock here? You? You? Nope.
Hey, doesn't it kind of look like a parasect, though?
Yeah, you're kind of right.
For teeter dance, if Chris and Luke looked away, would it still affect them?
Are you trying to do like a little, throw a grenade in?
Yeah, fire in the hole style.
As long as you're outside the field of battle, you can throw Mafia in. Parasect will be affected by it, but so will everyone else.
You can do it. The poor Diamond will take the hit.
Okay, girls, no time. Fire in the hole! And she just tosses Mafia out into the field. Teeter dance.
All right, roll for accuracy. 2 out of 4. That counts as a hit.
Puffy is up in the air, a little lens flare effect on her, and then you see her just kind of slowly swivering around and around in a kind of
hypnotic motion, glowing with all these different colors, and she's just kind of weaving her way through all the grunts and Pokemon that are kind of looking at her.
It descends into complete chaos. Everyone's bumping into each other. Ah, we're under attack! they're tripping over their own feet. One guy face plants into a cliffside. Put that wall there, get him! And two of the cultists chase after some invisible culprit, going into the complete opposite direction of you guys. Completely just pissing right off. And for the purposes of this encounter, you haven't completely negated it, but you have reduced their number by quite a bit. You have enough time to get into the field of battle and get ready to fight.
Yep. Yeah. In for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah. The three of you burst out from around the corner. Get them! All seven of them!
All seven?
Please, roll for initiative for your Pokemon. Okay, top of the order. Rattata, confused. At the beginning of the round, I must roll an insight check. The Rattata looks very confused, and if it messes up this attack, it's going to hurt itself in confusion. You hear the cultist say, Rattata, go for a quick attack on that really pretty rock that kind of looks like a Parasect. A 2 will hit, weak to normal types, but that's negated by filters, so that's going to be normal damage. What is Diamond's defense?
It is a 3.
Rattata darts forth, stumbles a bit on its legs, but rolls out of it and slams into Diamond for 2 points of damage.
Ow.
Bronzor's turn to make an insight check. It's feeling the effects of confusion as well. Another occultist go,
Bronzor, do imprison on that Parasect rock made us sleepy.
Oh no.
Roll for accuracy. But it hurts itself in its confusion.
Yay!
I need a 2 to hit, only rolled a 1 out of 3.
Thank you, Dice Gods!
So instead of Diamond forgetting how to hypnotize, Bronzor instead forgets how to float. Diamond's turn.
He looks over at the Bronzor, and all he could hear was the word imprison. He was like, I don't like the sound of that move. Diamond, prison blast on the Bronzor, please.
Real quick, Parasect was confused. Make an insight check.
So just a pure insight?
Yeah, for Parasect. 1 out of 3. So for this prison blast, you need to roll at least 2 successes in order for this to land.
Ooh. Ooh, Lord. Okay.
Yes! Okay.
3 out of 5. That will do it.
I'll take it.
Roll for damage. The defense is 3.
Oh.
4 out of 4. I forgot how strong prison blast was.
I didn't.
One more thing. Roll a chance dice. Let's see if it lowers the accuracy.
Dang it.
Diamond charges up a blast of prismatic energy and boom, blasts it at the Bronzor. You take it down almost to an inch of its consciousness.
That's my baby!
Stonejourner's turn. First things first, let's see if it wakes up.
Oh yeah, that's right.
For sleeping creatures, it needs to accumulate up to 5 successes while rolling insight. So, no successes here. It remains asleep.
Yes.
Ooh.
Well, looky here, an easy target. Maractus, train him dry.
And from its Ultra Ball, a Maractus pops out on the field, all dancey, getting ready to Giga Drain the Stonejourner. 4 out of 7, critical
Good
hit.
Lord.
5 out of 7 for the damage roll. Maractus starts dancing around, shake, 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 shake. You can hear the seeds shaking about inside the arms as suddenly you see the vital energy of Stonejourner rise out of its body and into its petals. As it saps it for 6 points of damage, it's super effective.
That is frightening.
It is Mistrevis's turn.
I think we're going to hit that red tail with a little bit of a shine sack.
Oh, God.
Hit it. All right, 2 out of 3, that will hit. Roll for damage. Its defense, surprise, surprise, not very high. It's a 1.
All right.
3 out of 6.
You just see Mafia just doing a little swirly thing with the balls around, and it's shining. And you just see it, like, sucking out the energy out of Rattata in this frightful, glowy display.
Yeah, it does look horrifying.
Like, it's sucking the soul right out of it.
Oh, God.
Hell, some of the its purple fur whitens a bit.
Yeah, that's my girl!
The Rattata, it's going to take another attempt. It's going to go for a bite on Mischievous. Now it needs to roll 3 successes in order for it to land. It does land, 3 out of 5.
Oh.
What is Mischievous's defense?
That is 2.
0 out of 2. Now, normally, even if it's no damage in the pool, it would still hit for 1 point of damage, but as it sinks its fangs into its jewel exterior, it doesn't even break the surface. It's not very effective.
What the hell is that thing?
It's a mischievous.
Her name is Mafia.
That's a stupid name.
What?
Ooh, shouldn't have said that.
Rakdos, it's going to take a second attack. It is going to go for a needle arm and finish off a Stonejourner. And it's going to need 2 to hit. It got exactly 2 out of 5. Let me roll for damage. It slams into the sleeping giant with needle-covered arms. Does not cause it to flinch as it bounces back into place. It still hits for 1 point of damage. Mafia, doing any second attacks, or are we going to move on to the next round of combat?
Who said that? Who said that Mafia's name was dumb?
The two cultists point to this guy.
Screw you guys.
Mafia, hit that Rattata with a hex.
You aim the hex attack at the Rattata, and you send a jolt of ghostly energy towards it. Doesn't even phase it.
Man, you're stupid. Everyone knows ghost types don't work on normal types. It's like first grade. Come on.
You will learn to regret this day.
This cultist is going to recall the Stonejourner, and he is going to attempt to escape. Would anyone like to contest against that?
Yes.
I'll need you or the Pokemon you control to roll Dexterity plus Athletic and contest it against him.
Okay, Dexterity plus... I guess I'll have Diamond move it because she might be faster than... Nope, not happening.
Diamond tries to fire a Spurs Blast, but goes stray. One of the cultists makes a break for it, leaving just these two guys with the Bronzor and the Rattata. Speaking of which, top of the order, though, Rattata's turn. Insight. It literally does not have enough insight to break confusion. It is going to go for a quick attack against Mafia. It needs to get 2 successes or more. 3 will do it. Unless you're going to try an evade or clash.
I'll try the clash.
You need to pick a damaging move to clash it with.
We'll do Shine Sap again.
Special plus clash. You have to get 3 or more. That meets, that beats.
Woo!
Mischievous sends another bout of Shine Sap against the Rattata. Rattata bounces off, but does not take any damage from the clash. Meanwhile, you take just 1 point of damage.
Oh my god, my Rattata really is in the top percentage!
Okay, yep, he's gotta eat. Shaming him's not enough, you gotta take his life.
Bronzor's turn. Let's see if it snaps out. It does not break confusion, but it does enough to act normally this turn. It is going to go for a confusion on Mafia. 1 will hit, unless you're going to try and evade.
I'll try and evade.
2 will do it.
Woo!
It tries to send a blast of psionic energy right at you. Mafia just jitters out of the way, back into place. Blast goes wide, you take no damage. And we come to Diamond.
Woohoo!
First things first, insight roll.
To ensure the confusion doesn't affect me. I will.
You'll need 2 or more successes for this next attack in order for it to work.
Second burst, same as the first. I'm going to have Diamond use Prism Blast, and I'll have her use it on... Well, I was going to use it on a Stonejourner, but it's gone, so Bronzor it is.
2 out of 5 meets. Roll for damage.
Woohoo!
How does it go down?
I'm going to be going with the theme of it keeps bashing into the rock. So I'm going to... All right, Diamond, let's do it again. Prism Blast! As it blasts that beam of light again at the Bronzor, the beam isn't what takes it out. It's the rock. As it... binks against the rock, and then it's out cold.
This cultist right here looks very annoyed from this and despondent. Meanwhile, we go over to Maractus.
Mind if I take this one, little lady?
Be my guest.
You heard her, Maractus. Finish your meal.
Woo. 4 out of 7 will be a critical hit, unless Rattata can evade. It needs a 5 or more to succeed. It needs to roll perfectly.
Ooh.
It does not roll perfectly. I don't even need to roll damage for this. It just, taking a page out of the Mischievous's book, it absorbs the vital energy of the Rattata, and it is in the top percentage no more as it collapses onto the ground.
Okay, stop!
You've beaten us. We're done, okay? We're done.
As they take their Pokeballs out and crush them.
Whoa!
Why do you guys keep doing that?
Yeah, you don't gotta go that far.
Yeah, we do. You beat us, we release our Pokemon, we surrender. It's sort of our whole only the strong survive thing.
Hold on. It's probably very crazy, but I want to do something.
Yes?
With their Pokeballs destroyed, does that mean they're no longer owned by them?
Yes, but you can't catch them because they are fainted.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dang it, I was gonna catch one and be like, give it back to them, be like, stop doing that.
You think that would be a possible solution, but the thing is, trying to catch a Pokemon does inflict amount of stress on it, and doing that to a fainted Pokemon, that is very unhealthy and very taboo.
Well, we don't want any missingos, so,
No, we do not.
Fair enough. All right, well...
But you can't just abandon them!
We don't have a choice!
You always have a choice! You always can choose!
Make a, cool plus empathy, Velma. 0 out of 2.
Dang.
Look, kid, you're strong and all, but we fear Odo more than we fear you. So just let us go to jail. You won't see us again, okay?
Wait, jail?
Look, I don't get his whole code thing either, but I'd be a lot safer behind bars than betraying Odo. So jail, please.
So wait, we beat you and you go to, like the local jail or, like, a Nuzlocke cult jail?
Just a normal, nice, local jail. That's it.
Now, one final thing, and I'll let you guys happily turn yourselves in. Can you at least take the fainted Pokemon to the Pokemon Center? At least do that.
But they're not ours anymore.
They may not be yours, but they're fainted Pokemon, so can you do one thing in your fucking life and take them to a center?
And hello? Apparently you're not part of Nuzlocke anymore, and you're gonna go to jail. You might as well take them with you.
I need you both to make tough... plus intimidate.
You have two people yelling at
you. I'm going to combine your roles.
Jesus.
1 out of 3 from Velma, 3 out of 6 for Chris. So that's a total of 4.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay. We'll take them to a Pokemon Center on our way to jail. Just stop yelling at us. Jeez.
And the reformed cultist, I guess. Pick up the fainted Pokemon and make a break for the nearest Pokemon Center. Luke recalls Maractus.
Probably would have been a lot more fun if you just knocked them out, but, you do you, I guess.
We do things the right way here. The Paragon way.
Paragon?
I sure as heck ain't gonna let anyone abandon their Pokemon.
You know what? I can respect that.
Luke heads over to a section of the wall where it looks like it's caved in and collapsed in itself. Flips through the book a bit.
Let's see. Yep. Well, this was supposed to be the way in.
Can we try destroying it?
I don't think even my posse could put a dent in all this.
Hmm. Is there not another way to get around?
He is going to investigate a bit. Ruffles through his jacket. Picks out another Ultra Ball.
Gillarix, go on and give us a hand.
And out pops...
What in the hell is that?
This dark, violet-skinned, salamander-looking creature. Large, lanky, completely flat to the ground, with sand pouring out on top of its head and around its claws.
Velma breaks out the Pokedex on him, being like, what the heck is that?
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Gillarix, the monster, lizard, Pokemon, and the evolved form of Gillarobble. This predator submerges itself in the sand, lying in wait for unsuspecting prey. They prefer whittling their health down through poison and environmental damage, then emerging for the final blow when the time is right.
That's morbid.
That's nature.
So what do you plan to do with this fella?
Let the hunter hunt.
The Gillarix sinks into the sand, and you can see it shifting around from one side of the canyon to the other, only like a mound of sand moving around. Eventually, he stops near a section further in, past the blockage, right up against the wall. He pops out, swipes his tail at the wall. It crumbles just enough to reveal a small crack. You see Luke bend down.
Got us an underwater cavern here. And a way in, at least for someone small enough or smart enough to squeeze on through.
Well, I think I know who can get the job done.
Velma says proudly as she's walking on over.
Don't know how deep it goes down there. You got yourself a water Pokemon on ya?
I got Lapras.
Oh, yeah.
Well, shoot, that'll do. Go on and find us a way to get through.
Roger, dodger.
And then with that, she hops on down.
I know this is completely a joke thing, but as I just imagine as soon as Velma is jumping in and they just watch her leave, Chris turns over to look and he just says, "Did I ever tell you my wife died?"
That's rough, buddy.
Ha 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 ha